The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed Daily Scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, May 29th through Sunday, June 4th, 2023. The commentary for the month of May was written by Perry M. Pauley, the associate priest at Trinity Cathedral in Phoenix, Arizona. Before pursuing ordination in the Episcopal Church, Perry worked as a professor and an entrepreneur. Perry has been married to Michelle since 2003, and they have two children, Elias and Elena. The commentary for June was written by Terry J. Stokes, associate pastor at the Reformed Church of Highland Park, New Jersey, and was confirmed at St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Harlem, New York. A graduate of Princeton Theological Seminary and Yale University, he is an avid spikeball player, songwriter, and pop culture enthusiast. He is the author of Prayers for the People, Things We Don't Know We, or excuse me, I should say Things We Didn't Know We Could Say to God. The commentary for Monday, May 29th, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 9. But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Now here's the commentary for this Monday. My grandfather developed prostate cancer in his 60s and thought he would die. Even though he did not consider himself a Christian at the time, he ultimately became a man of deep and abiding faith, and his life was fundamentally changed. I know this story because I've heard it many times from my dad and my granddad. It was a gift that he shared his journey with us because he, as he crossed into his 80s, Alzheimer's began to claim his memory. He did not want to stop sharing his faith, but his mind would no longer allow it. It can be hard for us to talk about our journey of faith, and sometimes it's particularly hard with family. Sometimes it's easier to preach to a full church than to be vulnerable with those who know me best. These are the most important conversations about faith, though, because we carry the faith of our forebears with us. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 4, verses 9 through 14. But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children, how you once stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, Assemble the people for me, and I will let them hear my words, so they may learn to fear me as long as they live on the earth, and may teach their children so. They may teach their children so. You approached and stood at the foot of the mountain, while the mountain was blazing up to the very heavens, shrouded in dark clouds. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, which he charged you to observe, that is, the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them on two stone tablets. And the Lord charged me at that time to teach you statutes and ordinances for you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy. And the moving forward question for this Monday, May 29th, is actually a statement to share your story of faith with a child or a loved one. The commentary for Tuesday, May 30th, begins with a passage from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. But it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us by putting His seal on us and giving us His Spirit in our hearts as a first installment. All the baptisms I've performed have been special, but a few stand out in my memory. There was the baptism on Christmas Eve, my first one, so that a family separated by military deployment could be together. I remember when my daughter was able to stand with her friend, Brianna, during Brianna's baptism, and I was privileged to be there with a dear friend and colleague as we baptized her grandchildren together. My absolute favorite part of baptism happens near the end, when the priest or bishop lays their hands on the newly baptized, anointing them with the oil of chrism, and saying, "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever." This is the sign that points to the grace received at baptism, the grace that Paul describes to the Corinthian believers. From that moment on, we believe that we are unshakably established in Christ, and the Spirit begins the process of revealing God's abiding love for us in glimpses, installments of the joy to come. And now I'm going to read the full text of the passage today from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 to 22. Indeed, this is our boast, the testimony of our conscience. We have behaved in the world with frankness and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and all the more toward you. For we write you nothing other than what you can read and also understand. I hope you will understand until the end, as you have already understood us in part, that on the day of the Lord Jesus we are your boast, even as you are our boast. Since I was sure of this, I wanted to come to you first, so that you might have a double favor. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia, and to come back to you from Macedonia and have you send me on to Judea. Was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make my plans according to ordinary human standards, ready to say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in Him it is always yes. For in Him every one of God's promises is a yes. For this reason, it is through Him that we say the Amen to the glory of God. But it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us by putting His seal on us and giving us His Spirit in our hearts as a first installment. And the moving forward statement or suggestion for this Tuesday, May 30th, is this: to share your favorite baptism story with someone else that you know, or someone in your church, perhaps. Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, May 31st, also the Visitation Day, or better known as the Ember Day. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 41 and 42. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Long before the day of Pentecost, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is undeniably present throughout the Old Testament, hovering over the abyss at the beginning of creation and offering wisdom to all who seek her. The Spirit even comes upon people, enabling them to preach or to prophesy. But Elizabeth is the first to be filled with the Spirit, the first to experience that indwelling presence that radiates from out of her being into the world around her. And this Spirit-filled woman's first proclamation is powerful. This unlikely mother-to-be affirms that an even more unlikely mother-to-be, her young cousin standing before her, has been set aside for a special purpose. Elizabeth is an example for all of us who seek to be led by the Spirit. As Spirit fills her and pours out of her, she speaks in love. She offers words of hope and encouragement. She calls for things that Mary is only beginning to understand. And the moving forward statement for this Wednesday, the day of the visitation, is this: Holy Spirit, teach us how to build up one another. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 to 57. In those days Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to home. Once again, today's message: Holy Spirit, teach us how to build up one another. And now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, the 1st of June. It begins with a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 to 3a. "You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter of Christ." Here's the commentary. In elementary school, were you ever entrusted with the sacrosanct responsibility of delivering an "I like you" note from your friend to their crush? I took pride in being a love note courier, someone who could not only reliably deliver the message, but also compellingly represent who the friend was and what they brought to the table. In that role, I became as important as the message itself. I became the letter. Paul and his team are confident that the message they have for the Corinthians is a message dictated by God and transcribed by them, a word imprinted by the Holy Spirit on the hearts of the believers in Corinth. The Corinthian Christians are the letter of God for the people around them, made such by the work of the Spirit through the ministry of Paul and company. Do you see yourself as being Christ's letter to be known and read by all? Are there letters, that is, people, who are written on your hearts, whom you are preparing to be ministers of a new covenant? And now I'm going to read from the full passage for today from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Surely we do not need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you, do we? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter of Christ, prepared by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are competent of ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. Our competence is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Now if the ministry of death, chiseled in letters on stone tablets, came in glory, so that the people of Israel could not gaze at Moses' face because of the glory of his face, a glory now set aside, how much more will the ministry of the Spirit come in glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, much more does the ministry of justification abound in glory. Indeed, what once had glory has lost its glory because of the greater glory. For if what was set aside came through glory, much more has the permanent come in glory. Since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. And the moving forward statement for this day and question, and something to think about, is this: can others read Christ's letter in you? The commentary for Friday, June 2nd, begins with a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Here's the commentary. Many of the greatest saints are seen as such because of the way they remained faithful through suffering. Many times this deprivation is self-imposed through commitments to hunger, poverty, celibacy, or, in Paul's case, an apostleship that involved all three. Usually when I read about such deprivation, I identify with the writer and equate austerity with holiness. I almost never identify with the Corinthians for whom life is at work and not death. Yet only some are called to be apostles or ascetics, but many are called to be those freed up by the work of apostles to enjoy abundance, to thrive, and thereby to image the life of Christ. While I praise God for those like Paul and Blandina who fulfilled a call to carry the death of Jesus in their bodies, I also praise God that many, in part through the faithfulness of the former, get to embody death's defeat and life's expanse. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. And the moving forward question for this day is, what life is at work in you? The commentary for Saturday, June 3rd, begins with another passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. In the second grade, my parents gave me a scooter. It was big and red with inflated rubber tires that could fly down the steep hill in our neighborhood. It was a challenge to get back up the hill, but I hardly noticed because I was so enamored with my special gift. I've always been mesmerized by the phrase eternal weight of glory. How does one weigh glory? How can glory be heavy? Isn't a heavy load a bad thing? Isn't the eschaton about having our burdens removed? The weight of glory could be like my scooter. Perhaps the joy of the gift raises us up to the task of carrying its weight. Maybe our resurrected bodies enjoy the feeling of the weight, like a power lifter hitting a sweet spot. Maybe the new earth will be less about the removal of loads and more about the transformation of what we carry into wonderful things, and the transformation of us into people who are capable of bearing them and delight in doing so. And now I'll read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 through 5, verse 10. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believe and so I spoke, we also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day, for this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. And the moving forward question for this day is, what does the phrase weight of glory mean to you? And now the commentary for Sunday, June 4th, Trinity Sunday. It begins with a passage from Psalm 8, verse 2. Out of the mouths of infants and children, your majesty is praised above the heavens. At the church where I serve as youth minister, the confession of sin is always followed by a sung call and response, Kyrie eleison. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. This past Sunday, one of our littlest absolutely belted out the response part, easily outsinging everyone else in the room. I couldn't help but giggle and beam at not only the vocal power and adorable timbre of this child, but also the personal ownership they clearly had over the expression of worship and faith. This psalm draws a contrast between our creaturely lowliness and the glory God bestows upon us. And the reference to children is so apt. We as adults with children in our lives can see the unique glory each one has, not in spite of, but rather by virtue of their youthfulness. We can see the glory of ingenuity, or of guilelessness, or of imagination, or of self-disclosure, or of any of the many respects in which children surpass us. A God who is known, loved, and praised by these remarkable beings is a great God indeed. Out of the mouths of infants and children, your majesty is praised above the heavens. And the moving forward question for this day is, what lessons have children taught you about loving God? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.